1 Kings chapter 19, we have been looking at Elijah, going to look at Elijah this morning and this evening. And I hope you brought your steel-toed shoes with you today, because this may be a message that will step on your toes, because it's still stepping on mine. And probably will for the next few weeks. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to pick up kind of where we left off last week. And this is not going to be like a expository message. I'm not going to draw all the stuff. I'm going to apply this to our life. But I want to give a little bit of context first to the verses. So if you'll just look in chapter 19 and verse number 9, it says, "And he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel, of hosts, for the children of Israel, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword Jehu shall escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that God's people were here today. They'll do more than hear, really. I pray they'll listen to the word of God, and I'll pray that they will really be convicted about the message today, and try as best as we can as flesh to apply it in our life. But we don't live in the flesh. If we're saved, we live by faith in the Son of God. We live in accordance to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say only what you'd have me to say. May your Spirit anoint my tongue to proclaim your word with power and with purpose. May your people be encouraged this morning. And Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary for my salvation and forgiveness of sin, and that resurrected life, that he come up out of that grave the third day. And Lord, we pray it all in his name. Amen. So this morning, our purpose. And you will really notice in this account here that it, and I know many of y'all have heard a message preached about this, and you've heard about the still small voice, the still small voice. I don't see a big significance of that, because it says in verse 13, it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. He was supposed to, I think it was in verse number 11, he was supposed to what? Stand upon the mount before the Lord, but he was in the cave hiding. Now we seen Elisha last week. He was talking suicidal or take my life kind of talk. And God gave him some food and he arose because what? The journey was too great for him, right? This morning, I want to ask you, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you willing to come to church? Why are you willing to open your Bible and listen to a person proclaim the Word of God? Why? Is it out of duty to your church? Is it out of just necessity of what, that's what makes me feel good? Is it out of necessity to think that, you know, I'll probably be a better person for it? Or, hey, that church is, that's where I was raised. I need to be faithful to it. Is that why you're here? See, today in America, I believe that we can look at these scriptures and we can see some things here that should bring about a strong amount of conviction to us. Why are you here? Why am I here? And folks, hey, I preached this message already all week to myself. Why do I proclaim the Word of God? Do I do it because it's my duty? I feel like I've been called by the Holy Spirit of God. I've been asked by God to do this. And I believe that I'm doing what He asked me to do. But sometimes I get caught up in the messages and the how people respond. And that's not my job. My job is to see what God has given me and say it plain and clear and let the chips fall where they will. But I still feel like I see Jace, a Baptist preacher in here. I think I see Elijah. He'd make a good Baptist. And you say, why is that? Well, look at what he says here in verse number 10. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. In other words, I've worked hard for you, Lord. I've done everything you've asked me to do. But let me tell you about them people of Israel. They have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. And they've slain your prophets. Now, I don't suspect that any of y'all are guilty of any of those things, do you? I hope I have your attention, because I believe in a sense that we are as guilty as they are. And I'm talking about the preacher as well. See, this morning I want to ask you, why are you here? You're listening to your Bible, or you're listening to the preacher. You got your Bible open. And I'll pick on Chance just a little bit, but I've reminded myself. He said he stayed up late last night. I said, were you praying for the services? He said, well, no. Lose some sleep that you were begging God to help the preacher preach the message that would open everybody else's eyes, right? No. Oh, we pray for that. But until He opens every one of us our eyes, it's not going to do us any good. See, we can't reach that world out there until God has reached us in here. And see, Elijah last week, he got his cake, he got his water, he had enough energy to go on a 40-day journey. We think, boy, that Elijah, he's ready to go. Well, he's still saying, Lord, have you seen my children? They've forsaken thy covenant. And like I say, I see a Baptist preacher there. But I want to go back to, why are you here this morning? Are you here to hear from God? Are you here to receive the purpose and the goal that you need for this coming week? Are you here this morning to see if there's some person out there that you can reach? Are you here today to see if you can be, as I've heard it from the different viewpoints, but to be the best version that you can be for God? See, I told you this is a steel-toed message here. You might want to have your steel toes on this morning, because this is going to step on all of us. Are we here to rub off on other people? And I'll get to why I say that. This is a rub-off kind of message. This should rub off on someone else. You should come, hear the message, and say, okay, I hear it. I need to rub off on other people. Are we here for a deeper walk with God? Are we here to heal whatever it is that ails us, to keep us from serving God and finding God's will in our life? Is that where we're at? I mean, hey, look, you can look across any congregation and people went through some very harsh things. I understand that. But God still has a purpose for each and every one of us to continue on. Elijah had got caught up in the fact that he says, hey, I've stayed faithful to you. Look at what everybody else is doing. And God this morning in this passage is going to return Elijah's purpose in his life. And he's not even going to get an answer. He's just going to move forward. This morning, I want to tell you, God may not give you the answer that you're looking for to solve your problem. See, Rick, I thought he had the answers to all of it. He does. But it may not to be to solve your problem. It may just to give you purpose so you can move on. You can move forward. And you can be the best version that you can be for God. Second point this morning, and I've already kind of alluded to it, self-assessment. Now, this is where again, keep those steel-toed shoes on, because look in verse number 9. God asked Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? And look in verse 13. And he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He's already heard the still small voice, folks. And God still wants to know, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah, what are you doing here? And again, there's a repetitiveness here that I wanted to share with you. He says in verse 10 and in verse 14, basically the same phrase. Now, I haven't checked closely to see if it's the exact words, but the answers are basically the same. He said, I've been very jealous, which means he's been zealous for the Lord. He has worked hard for God. He said, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. Now, you say, now I haven't broken any of God's covenants. Hang on to them shoes, okay? Hang on to those steel-toed shoes, because, yes, we have. Haven't heard much horn honking this morning, Cole. This is not an amening kind of message, but it should be. It should be the kind of message that gets our attention. He says, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. Now, if you have got a Bible this morning, honk your horn. Say amen. That's your covenant. Say, yo, Rick, rut-row. That's your covenant. Have you followed everything that's in the Scriptures? See, Elijah says, you know what, I've been zealous. Those children, those Baptists, those church members, they just not paying attention to the Bible. That's my problem. I preach to them and they just not moving. See, that applies to me, but I tell you what, If you believe that you're not accountable for any message or any scripture that is preached to you under the power of the Holy Spirit, you're missing it. Because you are accountable for all of it. If you've heard the Ten Commandments and you're breaking one of them, you are accountable for that failure. And I didn't say it. God said it. God said to be faithful to the house of God in Hebrews. He said to love others, as we studied on Wednesday night in 1 John. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also said, if you want to go to heaven, trust in Jesus Christ alone. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you're going to avoid that, you won't even make heaven. But once you find Jesus Christ and put your faith in Him and you're saved, then you are accountable. He says that they have forsaken. That word forsaken means they walked away. Now, let me put this a little bit better so we can understand it. Today in 2020, we have the availability to study the Bible online. We have the ability at Cumberland Baptist Institute there in Somerset. They've got good teachers, good classes, and you can go there Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. You can take one class, you can really have to pass the class, sometimes you can take it as an audit. But you go there just like on Thursday night, there are about 7 people total, maybe 8. Come to Wednesday night Bible study here at Bradley's. We can count. We wouldn't even bust the 10 people gathering on Wednesday. Desire to study the Word of God and find out what it will say to them and how they are to respond. They just don't. We got Bibles all over our shelves at home. We got the availability in all stores to get them, but we don't read them. We don't study them. We don't want to find the deep meaning. Or maybe you got that guy that only thing he cares about is to figure out when the Battle of Armageddon is. Oh my goodness. Why don't we just focus on getting the gospel out and learning to witness and getting the burden for that? You know, if you want to talk about the Battle of Armageddon or some of the eschatology or some of those deep things, find you a group and talk to them about it. But don't let that be a hindrance to your walk with God. Don't let that be something that will keep you from serving God. Now, the next thing on this self-assessment, look at what he says. They've thrown down thine altars. When I first came here, we started having prayer services on the last Sunday. I think we started at 5:15, and the first couple of times we had several people show up. We would divide out the men and the ladies. You come today and there'll be 4 or 5, maybe 6 or 7 ladies. And that's it. That's all that shows up. And then in that group, you got some, and I'm saying if you don't feel comfortable in praying, that's okay, but we got some people in those groups that won't even pray. They just want to sit there and be a part of it. Folks, God's people should be a people that scream out to God in prayer and beg Him for the will of God and the purpose of God in their life. See, we have cast, and here's another thing. We'll have the message. The preacher will preach a message, and there'll be conviction brought about to somebody. And, you know, they'll say something to the preacher. Say, well, preacher, I would have come forward, but I was so afraid what people might think. Oh, my goodness. Aren't you afraid of what God will say? Aren't you afraid what God will do if you don't respond when He's dealing with you right now? Maybe it'll be that deal where God deals with you, and if you don't respond, He'll say, you know what? You don't want to respond? I won't even deal with you. Oh, you won't lose your place in heaven. But we have thrown the altar away. And you say, well, they kicked it out of school. They have, but have we kicked it out of our households? How many parents sit down at least once a week, at the very least, and have prayer, serious prayer about the things of God? I'm not talking about blessing you food. I'm not talking about lay me down to sleep at prayer. I'm talking about when your kids get 10 to 15. Are you really sitting there and them seeing your burden and trying to build a burden in them so that they could know what that altar is? That is the time of prayer, the time to get with God and to speak with Him and allow Him to speak to us. Have we thrown those altars away? Amen, preacher. Keep on going. I will. Verse 14 and in verse 11 he also says, in verse 10 he also says, and slain thy prophets with the sword. See, we read about these great preachers and stuff these great prophets in the Bible. And like Isaiah in the book of Isaiah, he's a masterful writer. We think, and I hold Isaiah to high acclaim. But he was probably sown in sunder by King Manasseh's. Probably sown in, when I say sown, he was sawed in half, alive. See, a lot of those prophets came to him and they didn't want to hear him. They brought the truth of the Word of God. They said, you know what? If you don't repent and turn back to God, I'm going to send those Assyrians and they're going to take over your land and you're going to go into captivity. And they say, bring me a preacher that'll tell me what I want to hear. Preach the prosperity gospel so that I know that I will be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not what Christianity is. It is getting a burden and saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Like I say, this should step on every one of our toes. And I told you, the preacher is right there with you. How many times has the preacher come and preached a good message? You say, I believe what you're saying, preacher, but you never applied it to your life. You never took the next step and said, I want that. I need that. See, I can get personal with you for just a minute. See, our youngest son is still not in a great relationship with the Lord. And I still feel like we did just about everything we could when we finally started doing it to get our kids raised up. And I'm here to tell you, any of you people who's got little kids, you got grandkids, you're not raising them up for the Lord, you better watch out, because you may be spending, like me and my wife has, 10 years praying for the health and the well-being of your child, and not only that, but for the relationship he has with the Lord. And it's not been a pleasurable 10 years. We have a great relationship with our son. We love him to death, but we just love to see him get back right with the Lord. You better get ready. You got great grandkids. I don't care where you're at on that. You better be ready to try to impart to them something about what we're getting ready to look at here at the end. Elijah comes to this point. And I just want to share this briefly. He says here at the end of verse 11, or verse 10 and verse 14, he says that I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He still has not gotten over the fact that that little bony woman up there in that throne, that ungodly queen Jezebel, had threatened to kill him. Still ain't got over that, Chase. He's still thinking there's somebody up there going to take my life. But you know what the awesome thing about this is? When God finally gives him a purpose, God finally speaks to him. He don't ever mention that no more. But look what it says. He said, I only Well, we see there in the last verse that we read, God says, I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knees. You're not in this battle alone, folks. You're not by yourself. But here's the point I want to make in this last point this morning. God says to Elijah, and he says to you today, I'm not done with you. Go. God says, I'm not done with you. You can talk about where your self-assessment is. You can talk about all that stuff. He says, I'm here to tell you, you're not done. And what I got from this week studying this is, once Elijah got the promise and the purpose that God had for his life, he took right back off and he kept serving God just like he had when he called, when he prayed, and fire was called down from heaven and it consumed that sacrifice. Now, you see here that he's going to go and he's going to anoint Hazael king over Syria, Jehu over to be king of Israel, and Elisha to be what? A prophet in our room. Think about this. Well, first off, the word anoint means to rub or to smear. Now, we should rub off on people. As God's people, we should rub off on people. And I'm not talking about bad habits and bad attitudes. I'm talking about godly attitudes and spiritual things. See, up to this point, there's still an emptiness in Elisha's heart. And God says in verse 15, and this is where the message comes together for me. The Lord said unto him, go, return. Go, return. Go and return. In other words, I'm not done with you. Get out there and get busy. I'm telling myself that too. You say, well, I'm quarantined on this, on that. Hey, you can spend 10 minutes a day praying for a burden that God will give you to fix right there at your house. You can pray for God to give you a burden to read the Bible and to... a lot of ways while you're sitting at home. You can read a book. You can read the Bible. You can call somebody. You can witness to them across the phone. You can do a lot of things. But until we think of our self-assessment in a poor way, we're never going to have our purpose and we're never going to be able to go. God says, go, return on thy way. Now, need to stop, and this would be easy to apply, stop spiritually quarantining our lives. Y'all hear me? We need to stop quarantining in our spiritual life. You know, I've said this before, you know, if you are the only Bible that people are supposed to read, you better open that book so they can see the print on the paper. If you are the witness that's going to be to reach somebody for God, you better be telling them spiritual things and not earthly things. We also need to stop spiritually distancing ourselves. Instead of coming, and look, there is time, folks, for social conversation. I get that. I'm not trying to say that you just go and become a what people would say is a Bible thumper. But if you pray every morning for God to give you somewhere in a spot in your day to draw somebody closer to Jesus Christ, He'll do that. And you need to be ready for when He reveals that to you. Now again, remember what anoint means. To rub or to smear. It's really akin to being led by the Holy Spirit or anointed by the Holy Spirit. He says there in verse number 17, It shall come to pass that he escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha set slay. Elijah responds by going. Elijah responds by not even saying yes, but doing yes. Elijah responded in obedience. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to rub off on people? Or will this be another message that you hear God say, yes, that's right? Not that the preacher's right. No. Yeah, God, you're right. I need to do this that you spoke to me. I need to do that. I need to get this taken care of. Will this be another one that you'll drive home as soon as you turn the TV on and start working through your day that you'll forget about God speaking to you? Will it be another one of those days? Will this be the day that when God says go and return, that you'll say, okay, I got my purpose? Hey, your purpose may be just to get prepared to serve God. It may not to be called to any type of service at this point. But I'm here to tell you, to do that, we need to be bold, we need to be vulnerable, and we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in a lot of different ways, but mostly just straightforward, led by the Holy Spirit. Because there are people in our life, get this, that need us to anoint them with something of spiritual value. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, this message is one of those messages, I think, that goes much deeper than the words that I've said this morning. Lord, I pray for the heart that's been penetrated by the message this morning. Lord, we have put your Bible to the side. We have stopped praying and seeking and calling out your name. How is God talking to me today? How does God want me to respond? See, that's the answer. I don't know. How does God want people out there that are going to hear this message to respond? I don't have an idea. I do know this, that God calls people. We're going to look at calling tonight. Lord, I also know God asked us to get back on mission, back on track, back on purpose. So I pray you'll use this message to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.